Good morning, Symphony Church. Welcome to our weekday morning devotionals. Today we will be continuing on in Mark chapter 3, verses 22 to 30. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven, the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying, he has an unclean spirit." Have you ever been misunderstood or accused? It's not a great feeling or a great situation. I personally think one of the worst feelings is when you're trying to help somebody, but not only are they not able to receive it, but they think your intentions are the complete opposite of what you were trying to do. It's not necessarily the rejection that hurts, but the accusation. Jesus was healing, casting out demons, and teaching the word, all rooted in compassion and love. Yet even his own family thought he was losing his mind. The religious leaders came down from Jerusalem to accuse him of doing the exact opposite of his mission. They accused him of being possessed by Satan, delivering and casting out demons by the power of evil. Jesus responds with two short but profound parables. First, he uses logic to combat the accusation. How can Satan cast out Satan? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Therefore, there must be another power at play here, and as we know, that is the kingdom of God. Secondly, he gives an illustration of a strong man and his goods. You cannot plunder his goods unless you first bind the strong man. In this parable, the strong man is Satan. Jesus is showing that he is stronger than him and is able to bind him, allowing him to plunder his goods. One of my all-time favorite genres of television are crime shows. And there's always this iconic scene where a criminal holds people captive against their own will, either through a kidnapping or hostage situation. Imagine people tied up, unable to escape as a criminal freely paces around the room. In order for the cops or perhaps the FBI to successfully rescue the hostages, they need to first deal with the quote-unquote strong man. Sure, they may be able to covertly rescue the people, but if the criminal is not bound up, he will strike again and pose a threat to their lives. They must bind him up and neutralize the threat in order to safely rescue the people. We see Jesus do this time and time again in the scriptures, defeating the works of the enemy by binding him. He rescues his people, bringing restoration and healing with immense care and intentionality of the individual that stands before him. And of course, he ultimately defeats death itself to restore all of humanity to be reconciled with the Father. Using the same analogy of the criminal, when there is a survivor, but the criminal was never caught and is loose about society, it brings fear, uncertainty, and instability into their lives. Their safety becomes an illusion. But when they know that the criminal is in jail serving time, they feel much safer knowing that they are protected. For those that profess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we are not under the dominion of Satan anymore. Yet sometimes we forget that Satan is bound up and that Jesus, quote, put him in jail. Something we can reflect on today is this. Do we live our lives with the security of the gospel? Are there any ways in which we still operate out of fear? We must also remember that we are waiting upon the day of the Lord who will bring true restoration and deliverance from the works of the enemy. The final part of Jesus' response is a stern warning that those who blaspheme against the Holy Spirit will not receive forgiveness. I was wrestling with this passage for quite some time because right before he says that all sins will be forgiven, even the blasphemies that they may utter. Yet right after, he shares about the unforgivable sin. So what does this mean? And what does it mean to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? It's not exactly spelled out for us, but we know that this was in response to the scribes saying that Jesus had an unclean spirit. They were not only bad-mouthing Jesus, but was accusing him of doing the exact opposite. They ascribed the power of the Holy Spirit to Satan. They were blind to the work of Satan in their own lives, but were horrendously mistaken as they failed to see the work of the Holy Spirit. I usually don't read the Message translation, but they phrased it in such a way that helped illuminate this passage for me. It reads, "I'm warning you, there's nothing done or said that can't be forgiven. But if you persist in your slanders against God's Holy Spirit, you are repudiating the very one who forgives, sawing off the branch on which you're sitting, severing by your own perversity all connection with the one who forgives." Blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is rooted in unbelief and an unwillingness to repent. I'll repeat that again. It's rooted in unbelief and an unwillingness to repent. Therefore, this sin cannot be forgiven, as it does not allow the person who committed it to come to a place of repentance before God. This warning is not necessarily meant to scare us, but to warn us. Are there any ways that we exhibit unbelief and an unwillingness to repent in our lives today? Let's take some time to pray through this. O Spirit of wisdom and revelation, I pray that you would allow us to see the personhood and divinity of Jesus rightly. Help us, God, to be a people that are able to discern the spiritual realm, to acknowledge and to see the works of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that we would not be entertaining any lies or works of the enemy, but that we would remember, God, that we are not under the dominion of Satan anymore, for you have forgiven us and adopted us as your sons and daughters. I pray, God, that you would help our unbelief, help our unwillingness to repent, help us, God, to remember that we are in desperate need of a Savior, and that you are the one who forgives all sins. So I pray that today you would just open up our hearts to have a greater sensitivity to your works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.